Prayer for him. This is the last Sunday, or not Sunday, this is the last church service that I will be here in quarantine and not able to be at church. I will be at church, Lord willing, this Sunday. Looking forward to being in the pulpit again. It's weird being away from church for 2 weeks. It really is. It threw my whole routine off, and it's almost like being on vacation, except, you know, you're not somewhere having fun. You're stuck at home trying to get the to-do list finished. But anyways, the Lord has been good. My nephew, who was the original person to get sick, he's doing much better. Many of you have asked about our nephew, Josiah. He's recovered from COVID. And thankfully, nobody else in our family has contracted COVID. And of course, Jubilee's doing well. She's there tonight. Hi, Jubilee. Mrs. Cassida doesn't have COVID. I don't have COVID. And so this is the last service I'll be missing for a while. So anyway, see you Sunday. I hope you'll be in your places. I look forward to being in my place. But tonight, let's hear from the Word, shall we? Romans chapter 6 is where we go. Romans chapter 6. I wanted to share with you just a real brief, I guess you'd call it a devotion. I'm not sure what the difference is between a sermon and a devotion, but I think it has to do with time. I think if you're over 20 minutes, it's probably more of a sermon. And it just feels like a devotion because I'm sitting down at a desk in my study and not behind the pulpit. So we'll call it a devotion for now. How's that? Romans chapter 6, if you'd like to find that. I'm not sure who's at church and who isn't, but I hope you all had a good prayer meeting and got some praying done. The prayer meeting is an important part of the church life, and I'm glad that we have folks assembled tonight to pray. And those of you who could not assemble, like me, I hope that you prayed also tonight for the needs on the prayer sheet that we give out at church or whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll get right into it, okay? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And one more verse. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Which means emphatically no. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing tonight. Help us, Lord, in these few moments we have in your word to grow in faith, to kill off those remaining sins and corruptions in us. Give us grace for this, we pray. Amen. Okay, well, earlier you saw Bob. Let me see if I can reach Bob. Come here, Bob. Oh. Yes, so this is Bob. He is a bobcat. And if you're wondering, Pastor Joe, Did you kill that bobcat? The answer is, no, I did not. Well, who did? That's a good question. Nobody knows who killed Bob. My father gave me this trophy animal. I guess he didn't want it no more. I don't know why. I think it's a lovely decoration. But there's a little tag on Bob's platform here that he sits in, and it says, Bobcat, killed on Molas Pass by vehicle in the San Juan Mountains in the 1960s. And it gives the donor's name. I don't know if the donor would want me to read her name. Well, there you go. It's a Miss Ruth from Montrose, Colorado. I won't give the address there, but I think Bob's trophy maybe has outlasted the person who donated it. Killed by vehicle. Bob is a road cat. A roadkill bobcat. He looks fierce and ferocious, doesn't he? Yes. But you know, Bob is dead. And he is, as Paul says in Romans 6, he is dead indeed. That is, there is no hope for resuscitating Bob. There are no hearts or lungs inside Bob anymore. He hasn't had a pulse for a very long time. He is stuffed. All that's left is the shell of Bob and the little wood platform that he stands on. He is indeed dead. Now, what's interesting about Bob, as far as it goes for making office decor, is if nobody has been in my study, well, the basement, and they see Bob sitting on the shelf. Actually, he usually resides over there on the freezer. I don't know why, but that's where he tends to stay. If nobody has been into the basement and they don't know that Bob is here, they see this bobcat on the freezer or on the coffee table or wherever he's at, and they jump back startled that there is this ferocious animal. And the reason why they're afraid is they don't know that he's dead. Now, I know he's dead, so I'm not afraid of Bob. He doesn't scare me at all because he's dead. And you know, the Bible says that we are to be dead indeed unto sin. And we are also to be about the business of mortifying our sin, killing the sin in us. So we should kill sin and reckon ourselves likewise to be dead unto sin. So sin is dead to us, and we should be dead to sin. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? But oftentimes Christians don't live that way. And I want you to notice verse 11, Romans chapter 6, verse 11, where Paul writes, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed. Reckon, that is, consider yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So we should, with our minds and our hearts, purposefully think about how we are dead to sin, and sin is to be dead to us. Now, that means a few things. I'm going to share them with you real quick. First of all, if I am considering myself dead to sin and sin dead to me, then I won't fear sin. You say, well, I don't fear sin. I think perhaps we do sometimes. I know that there are those who have struggled with terrible habits that have threatened their lives and their livelihood, and they fear that sin may conquer them at the last. And we don't need to fear sin. We don't need to fear that sin can hold us into bondage to its power. We are not enslaved to sin if we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You believe that? That's what Paul says. He that is dead is freed from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. So I don't need to fear. I won't fear sin's power. It cannot hold me in bondage to itself anymore. I am not powerless against sin. And just as Bob the cat, I do not fear him. because he is dead. Neither should we fear sin, because it is dead to us, and we are to reckon ourselves dead to it. You know, I'm allergic to cats. It's true. But for all this time that I've had old Bob, I have never had a sneezing fit. And you know why? Because Bob has no power over me. He cannot make me sneeze, though I am allergic to cats. Bob doesn't make me sneeze because he's dead. He's a roadkill cat. You know, if Bob was alive, I would be very afraid right now. I've never been in a house, stuck in a house, with a live bobcat, but I can imagine it'd be very exciting and very scary. But I'm not afraid of Bob, because Bob is dead. He doesn't make me scared. He doesn't make me afraid. He doesn't make me sneeze. He has no power over me because he's dead. And this should be our attitude towards sin. We do not fear sin. We are not powerless against sin, because we are dead indeed unto sin, and it is dead to us. But not only do we not need to fear sin, let me hold Bob so he doesn't fall over here. We don't need to, we shouldn't, if sin is dead to us and we are dead to sin, then we shouldn't feed sin, should we? Now, I've got a little dog, most of you know Coco, and we feed Coco a cup of kibble every day. She seems to think that she deserves to eat, and so we feed her. But I don't feed Bob. And how foolish it would be for me to set a cup of kibble in front of Bob every day, expecting him to eat it up. Now, if we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and if we're busy killing sin in our lives, then it would be foolish of us then to go and feed sin, wouldn't it? Why would you want to resurrect that sin that Christ has died for so that you could be dead to it and it dead to you? Why would you try to resuscitate it and care for it and nurture it when it's supposed to be as dead as this roadkill bobcat is? So don't feed sin. Whatever temptations you know you may face or struggle with, don't make them worse by feeding them, planning on sinning, making yourselves available to the temptation. I'm going to put Bob down here. Maybe he'll come back before we're done. But don't feed your sin. Starve your sin. Kill your sin. Not only do you not have to fear sin, and you won't feed sin, but for the sake of alliteration, don't fool around with sin either. And here's what I mean. Well, let me show you. Come back here one more time, cat. Bob's not heavy, but the board he's on is. This is... I don't know if you can see him, but Bob still has these claws, and they are still quite sharp. And in fact, I forget if it was Noah or Mariah, Jubilee. Anyways, I think one of the kids was moving the cat or playing around with the cat, and they did this by accident, and they cut the top of their hand. Maybe it was Mrs. Cassida. They cut the top of their hands on Bob's claw. You see, he may be dead, but he still has very sharp claws. So don't fool around with him. He's fun to look at, but if you play with him, he's going to bite. Not with his mouth, with his claws. You know, just because we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and because we go about our lives trying to mortify the remaining corruptions in us, that does not give us permission to play arrogant and brave and foolish with our sins. Sin still has the ability to hurt. And if you don't reckon it dead, you'll find that it does hurt still. But just because I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, and sin dead to me, this is things I should be reckoning and considering, I'm not going to allow that to make me, overly confident, to think that I can play with sin and flirt with sin. It can still cut, and it can still hurt, and it can still be a problem. And just because we are to have this attitude doesn't mean that we shouldn't approach it with an element of wisdom. Like the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. That is, if you see trouble coming, you get out of the way. And our salvation in Christ gives us freedom in Christ. But that doesn't give us permission to play fast and loose with sin. It still has the ability to hurt. And we need to ask God to give us grace to forsake sin and to continually, day by day, reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I won't fear sin if I reckon myself dead to it and it dead to me. I won't fear sin. I won't feed sin. How silly would it be for us to try to resuscitate these sins and that Christ has died for? How foolish and ungodly is it that we should love Christ and worship Him and yet at the same time want these sins that He died for in our lives? God forgive us and God help us. And not only will I not feed sin, but I won't fool around with sin. Remember, Bob can still cut. And though I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin, I would be foolish to play with sin and to be foolhardy with it and not to consider the fact that it's still a very harmful thing. So God give us grace to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.